This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
We're the Greater Green Island Youth Action Group podcast.
We're a bunch of local young people who have lots to say, stories to tell and stuff to promote.
All from right here in Greater Green Island on ORFM.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 18 of our podcast. My name is Hannah and alongside me is Abby, Bree and Eli. We're your hosts today on behalf of the Youth Action Group. How about we do a round introducing ourselves and sharing a fun hobby we all have?
Hi guys, my name is Bree and I'm a youth worker at Greater Green Island Community Network and I'm 22 years old and a fun hobby I do is, I feel like I say this one a lot, but, I go biking. I need a new hobby, guys. It's fun, though. I go mountain biking. But, oh, a new hobby I've started is running, so I'm not saying the same thing every time. And I'm not great at it, but it's fun-ish sometimes. Yeah, that's me, team.
Nice.
Kia ora, I'm Abby, I'm 24, I am originally from Central Otago, but I moved to Dunedin to study nursing and I now work at the hospital here. I also run an organisation called Te Ara Tiramu Youth Impact Network, which is an online platform connecting young people who are passionate about social change. Hobbies for me, I really like music, gardening, reading, spending time with my friends, going for walks. Lately, I've really been getting into learning how to make sourdough and, like, preserving fruit and stuff. Real, like, grandma kind of hobbies. I love it.
Awesome. Kia ora, everyone. Tāla whālava, maloni. My name is Eli, and I'm a youth worker here at Greater Green Island Community Network. A fun fact about me, I would say what I like to do in my spare time, I'm a wrestler, so I enjoy wrestling and grappling sports like judo and jiu-jitsu, you may have heard of. I was born in the last century, so I'm a bit of a dinosaur walking around here, but it's great to be a part of the show today. Thank you.
My name's Hannah. I go to Abbotsford School currently, and I'm 12 years old. A hobby I enjoy is reading. And sometimes I play video games on a computer.
Nice. So I thought we got a cool crew here today. So our first segment we're going to do for today is the debate club. So welcome to the debate club, but dumb, where the topics are ridiculous and the opinions are somehow even worse. We're debating the big stuff, like does pineapple belong on pizza? No prep, no research, just passionate nonsense. Let's debate. So, first up, we have cats versus dogs. Mm. Is there any, what's people's preferences off the bat? Do we have any cats lovers here?
Yes, I'd say I'm an avid cat lover. I've loved cats from, actually all my life I've loved cats.
Oh, Eli's a big cat lover.
I'm a dog person, all the way. Mm. Always going to be dogs for me.
Hannah?
I'm in the middle.
In the middle. Okay, so we've got a debate from Eli versus Abby. So, Eli and Abby, I'm going to give you each 30 seconds to give us your best debate, and me and Hannah can be on the deciding side. Okay, who wants to go first? Should we paper, scissors, rocket, or, yeah,
Shoot. Oh, can you come on? Okay, go on. Yeah, you go.
All right. I reckon that dogs just have a lot more purpose than cats. So you dogs can be like guide dogs. They can like work like looking at customs and border protection and biosecurity. You've got dogs who can like go out hunting and like seek stuff and work as like on farms, like herding animals. I feel like dogs have a lot of purpose, whereas cats just kind of like live off humans and manipulate you and like t- take all your food and then run away for the day hunting, and then they just come back and drop a dead bird on your doorstep. Like, I don't know. They're just like all of the pets and the cuddles and the love, but they don't really serve much of a purpose.
Mm. Eli, do you have a argument or rebuttal to make against that?
Yeah, I'd say for cats, they're very free-spirited. They go out, they don't need leashes, they don't need to be taken care of as much as dogs, I feel. You just give them a bit of food, let them on their way, and when they come back, they'll come back. They can explore, they can, you know. You think of all the contributions they've even given to our young people, of all the cool characters, the cool cats out there. You know, Sylvester and Garfield is just the personality of the cats. They've got much more personality, I feel, than dogs. And, you know, they don't eat as much. So, and like you said, they can bring birds back. They can catch their own food. So they're pretty self-sufficient. If I left the cat for 2 weeks, I think it'd come back. It's still alive. I can't say the same about a dog. What do you reckon, Hannah? Yeah, she agrees with me, I think.
Hannah, you're the decision maker here today.
I am not going to do that. I will not choose.
She can't choose.
Oh, okay. So you're making me choose?
Yes.
Do you have any way you're leaning help? Because I love making decisions. Totally. No, you got nothing. Okay, so.
And remember, cats include, like, tigers and lions.
I do think that Eli has a strong argument about the societal impacts of cats and, like, the media and stuff. I'm a big lover of the media, but I feel like Abby gave some more actual, like...
contribution to society, more than just entertainment.
And I think you kind of had some good points about those cats as well.
Mm.
And I feel like Eli just kind of, I love the media vibe, but you didn't really give any points about why cats are better.
They're free spirited, like I said. For a dog,
I do like their free spirit.
Reliance on you. So what you do, that's what the dog's going to do. But
that's not true. See, like, dogs are not.
We look at young people. We let them grow up and be whatever they want to be. You know, we don't try and train them, man. And I feel like that's like a cat. It's more like a...
They're different species of animal.
They are.
Different things in their nature.
Unfortunately, Eli, I'm still going to give it to Abby.
Woo!
So that is one for Abby. So our next... We actually have a couple of categories today. So our next category is summer versus winter. Do we have any...
Yeah, what do you reckon?
I would definitely say winter. I cannot deal with the heat of summer.
I've always been like that too. I always struggle with the heat. But then I do find myself a bit happier over summer. Like, I like to go outside and do things, whereas in winter it's like, oh, can't go outside, it's too cold. So, but I do like in winter being able to wear, like, jackets and scarves and long pants and boots. And, like, you know, sometimes I struggle in summer because even if it's, like, a really, really hot day and you wear, like, very minimal clothing, like, there's only so much you can take off, right? But in winter, you can just keep on layering it, and it's cool.
It's a tough one because, for me, it depends on where the summer is. If you say summer in Australia, I think it's a little too much for me.
Whereas, like, if it's humid or if it's dry heat.
Yeah, but Dunedin summer, now that is, I would pick a Dunedin summer over Dunedin winter.
Oh, easy, easy.
But a Brisbane summer, I'd choose a Brisbane winter. Because it's more like Dunedin, so...
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
I like that logic.
So if I was to choose, I would lean more towards summer because I like a bit of, you know, going to the beach and swimming at the beach as well.
Yeah, there's more activities you can do in summer, I feel, like those days at the lake or, like, going out for a bike ride or a walk and all this stuff is more enjoyable when it's warm.
Yeah, but then you have to mow the lawns and stuff, so there's a bit of...
Then the garden grows and you get good vegetables and flowers and...
I feel like this has just become a bit more of a discussion point about summer and winter instead of debate, but we're gonna go with that vibe because it's working. I'm big on summer, so except I don't like it when it's too hot. So I actually love Eli's arguments.
I would really love autumn, like spring.
Spring
just has too much wind.
Oh yeah,
yep. Yeah,
and the autumn colours are really pretty.
I do love an autumn.
You're right. Those kind of like in between seasons are quite nice.
There's also quite a few like flower bushes that bloom at that time. And some nice fruits.
How lucky are we though that we get four distinct seasons? We get to just do it all in a whole big cycle. And then if you get tired of one after too long, then it's fine because you move through to the next one.
I like how we don't have like a tornado season. That's what people call
or
it.
Or a monsoon season.
I think we're very lucky to live in a place with nice seasons. Shall we move on to our next debate topic or discussion topic? It might be more of today. Whoops. Books versus movies.
Books.
Oh, books coming out the gate.
I'm a books girl too.
Well, I'm sorry to disagree with you, ladies, but I'd say I'm a movies guy. I'm very, I'm quite visual. So, you know, like seeing all the different animations and watching the people's emotions that come through when they're acting, which sometimes I can't really imagine it too much when I'm reading. But, I guess I'm more impacted by visual. Movies for me all day. Plus you get to go to watch it at the movie theatre and have popcorn and, you know, listen to the sounds and also the soundtracks that come on as well that complement the visual.
But also lots of movies, like good movies, can be like over 3 hours long sometimes. Like Avatar or Lord of the Rings.
Some books can be pretty long too though.
Yeah, but you don't have to read it all in one sitting.
Gotcha.
Good point. Yeah, I did get a headache after Lord of the Rings. It was pretty long.
I just really like when you're reading and you can let your mind kind of create the story. Like you're reading, but you're visualizing something based on the way that your brain interprets that information. And I think that that's really beautiful. And then when, like, some books obviously become movies, and then that's really cool because you can see how somebody else has interpreted that story and the differences, and like I think that's really fun.
I think that's some pretty good debates there, guys. I think I can actually judge this one a wee bit. I'm actually a book lover myself, but I loved Eli's movie debate argument and just him talking about the experience of going to a movie theatre made me really visualise it and feel like I could taste popcorn and just made me feel like I was walking into Rialto. And I do love the book thing. I love books. But today, due to, I think, Eli's good argument, we're going to have to go with movies. Well, at least that's my decision. You guys can let me know if you disagree with me, but I think we're going with movies is better today because Eli's made some really good points, even though I love books.
We can just agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I do like the thing of like when a book turns into a movie. That's a vibe. You to experience both. That's wins for everyone.
I saw the Percy Jackson series, some of it, but lots of the characters look like completely different.
I've been watching Percy Jackson because I loved the books growing up, and I actually love it. I think they've done a great job, even though the characters look different, and they actually make changes. I think the changes that they've made have added to the story and really, like, brought out things that just you've have to do it in a different way because it's not first person, and you can't hear the thoughts of, you know, Percy. And so they've had to do it in a different way, and it's been really amazing the way to see. Like they've made a book into a series, and it's been really good, and I'm really excited to see all the new changes that they're doing. So I can see that, but I'm big into book to movie or TV show adaptions. But I think that's going to be the end of the debate club, but dumb, where the arguments were strong but the logic was questionable. Let us know whose side you're on, or just who made the least sense.
So it's time to take some of the most famous characters ever created and describe them in a way that would make their creators cry. One of us will give a painfully bad description and everyone else has to guess who we're talking about before the damage is irreversible.
So, guys, I've got some bad character descriptions and you guys are going to be tasked with trying to figure out who it is. Whoever says the right answer first wins. You guys can chime in at any point, so I don't have to finish the whole sentence. But if you can guess it, you win a point. You guys have to keep track of it yourselves. Okay, my first one is going to be an overachieving student who panics any time rules are broken, but routinely breaks time. It's
Hermione.
Yes. I'm going to finish it so people can hear it, but yes, that's one point. But routinely breaks time itself to fix her friend's mistakes. That is one point for Hannah.
That was
with
just
Hermione.
That was just in the third one. She only did it once
I know,
to fix the
but
mistakes.
She still breaks, you know. These are written not by me. So, okay.
Good job.
Okay.
She got that quick.
That was very quick. Yeah. That was great. Okay. A short individual who is deeply attached to jewellery will physically deteriorate without arguing with himself. Correct, Hannah. Man,
Hannah
is too good. You can see how much she loves books because these are
good. I did not read those.
I know. I keep these hidden from her.
Wow. I don't think I would be able to stomach reading Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You watch movies, though?
Yeah.
Yep. Goes back to our movies of debate. Okay, third one. A man who was raised by animals meets other humans for the first time and immediately has to choose between civilization and the jungle. Even one option clearly involves less paperwork. That is Tarzan. Okay, next one. Someone who keeps saying they don't care but builds their entire identity around caring too much. She wears a lot of black and listens to sad violin music.
Wednesday.
Correct.
Wednesday.
You're good.
Who's Wednesday?
Wednesday Adams.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Adams.
Yep. So, Okay, I think at the moment we are on
Hannah's
3
smashing.
Points for Hannah, 1 for Eli, and 0 for Abby. Abby.
Don't rub it in.
Okay. Here's number 5. A young woman whose biggest life goal is to leave her house, ignore every warning, and immediately trust the first stranger she meets. She likes to sing as well. And
Dorothy?
Close.
Snow White.
Hannah's more on the right track.
Sleeping Beauty?
She spends a lot of time under this big blue blanket. The ocean.
Ew.
I think that's a tie.
Yeah.
I think that is a three-way tie, so.
You know, The Little Mermaid is actually the title of
technicalities.
Yeah. Technicalities.
Yeah. She is right, though. It's Ariel, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next one. Okay. A girl with a surfer aesthetic who talks to animals, breaks family expectations, and solves generational trauma with one really good song. Eli.
Oh.
That's Moana. Eli's on 3 points now with that tied breaker. So the tallies are Hannah, you're on 4.
Yeah.
Eli's on, was it?
2?
No. Oh, 3 now. Three.
Yep.
Or maybe Hannah's on 5. Guys, yeah, you should have been doing it. And Abby's on 1. Abby's on 1.
That's good.
Okay. Next one. A boy who is technically royalty, but spends most of his time running away, singing, or hanging out with animals.
Locally?
Mostly a warthog. And
Lion King. Simba.
Simba. Eli gets it. That is Simba. He is the Lion King.
Nice.
Okay, we have 3 more.
Oh, wow.
A girl who volunteers for a bad situation becomes a symbol against her will and would really prefer everyone to stop watching her, and that is Abby. Congratulations, Abby. Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games.
Oh, Mulan was a good one, too.
Mulan is good. Yeah, that's a good one. Unfortunately, not the one that I was talking about.
I was just stuck on,
the Disney thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay. A small child with a suspiciously large vocabulary is ignored by her parents, raises herself at the library, and eventually realizes
Matilda.
She can, correct, solve adult problems with her mind, literally.
Well,
that is Matilda. Congratulations, Hannah. We have 1 more. So, a teenager who keeps getting expelled learns it's because Greek monsters hate him personally and spends his summers at a camp that is somehow less safe than the real world. That's so funny because we've just talked about Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
And I'd already done these, so guys, it's not scripted. So I think Hannah clearly won that one.
She's
too smart for anyone else.
Yep.
So that
that wraps up our questionable character descriptions somehow. Even when we butcher everything, that makes them iconic. They're still recognisable, barely. Let's move on before we offend another fictional legend.
Welcome to Local Legends, the part of the show where we catch up with awesome people doing cool things in our community. They might not be famous, but around here they're kind of a big deal. Let's get into it.
So here today we have Abby, which kind of brings us to part two of, I guess, like our Otago Community Trust sequel. I don't really know what we're putting it as, but yeah. I think Hannah's got some questions to ask Abby, so.
Well, for starters, what is the Rangatahi Fund?
So the Otago Community Trust has identified tamariki and rangatahi as being big priority groups in their funding strategy. And as a part of that, they launched a couple of years ago the Rangatahi-led fund, just to increase accessibility to funding for young people and to provide that in a really authentic way. It's a participatory approach, so it there's young people that are deciding where that funding should be distributed as well. I'm a really big believer in authentic youth co-design, and I think that young people should be involved in decision-making when it comes to processes and projects that affect them. At the end of the day, it's rangatahi who know what's relevant, what's needed, and what actually resonates with our peers, because we're living it every day. So that makes the process much more inclusive and ultimately more impactful. So what the fund is, across Otago there are four groups. There's one based in Dunedin, a Central Otago group, a Clutha group and a Oamaru group. And in each of those four groups have $25,000 to distribute, and we accept applications from rangatahi under 24 across the region to apply for up to $5,000 each. What I really like about the fund is that the application process is super straightforward. So the questions are simple. We don't need anything super perfect or fancy. We just want to hear from the heart what it is that you're wanting to do. If you've got an idea or a project that you're really passionate about, why you think it's needed. And I guess in that way it really breaks down the barriers to young people accessing funding. You're not competing with massive organisations of people who have been applying for funding and grants for years. You're just in the same pool as a bunch of other young people who all have awesome ideas as well. The other thing that's really cool is beyond funding, the Otago Community Trust can also link young people who apply to other young people or mentors and other community partners and groups that can support your skill development or project planning and different things to do with the ideas that you might have beyond just giving money. So I think that's a really cool thing about it as well.
The next question is, how did you get involved in the fund?
I was actually one of the previous applicants. So a couple of years ago, I applied just to help kick off the co-design for a big project that I was starting to create an interactive online network and learning platform that connects rangatahi who want to create positive social change and make a difference in their own communities. So I kept in touch with the team at the Otago Community Trust and let them know what we were up to and how we were going. That's kind of gone from there. Nikita reached out last year to ask if I wanted to be involved in the Dunedin Ropu, who make the decisions about the funds, and of course I said yes because it's a cause that's very close to my heart. I'm very passionate about this kind of work, and so I joined the team last year, and it was such a great opportunity just to get to know other young people locally who are really passionate about the same things and just to be able to collaborate with them as well.
I think we've got time for one more question from Hannah, so you can probably choose out of those ones there. We have to cut time short. We've spent too much time talking about movies and books.
How is each application determined?
That one's a really hard one to answer, actually, Hannah, because we haven't actually met as a group for this year yet. And so when we meet as a group, we sit and we discuss what our values are, what we'd be looking for in applications. So we haven't actually met and we haven't actually decided on what that criteria is yet. But generally, we sort of look at equity and impact and diversity and all of those kinds of things.
Is there anything else that you'd like to share about the Rangatahi-led fund?
I just think if there's any young people out there in the Otago area who have got ideas, whether that's an event or a project or something in your school or your community group, it can be literally anything. We would love to hear from you. Just reach out and apply. Don't stress out too much about the application process. Just be yourself, share your dreams, tell your story. You never know. You could just walk away with $5,000 to kickstart your project. You got nothing to lose, really.
That's it for this round of Local Legends. Big thanks to Abby for sharing their story. If you know someone else doing awesome stuff in the community, hit us up. They might be our next legend. Catch you next time.
All right. It's time to fill our brains with information we definitely did not need, but will absolutely bring up in conversation later. Welcome to Fun Facts, where learning is accidental and mildly impressive.
As we're running out of time, guys, this is just going to be a quick fire, one fun fact each. So I'm going to start us off. My fun fact is squid brains are donut-shaped. Hannah, what about you?
There are 11 words in English that don't rhyme with anything.
Quickly, can you do them?
No, I cannot.
That's okay.
My fact is it's impossible to lick your elbow.
The Eiffel Tower gets a little bit taller every year in summer because the iron heats up and expands, so it adds an extra 15 centimetres and then it shrinks back down in winter when it gets cold again.
Nice. All right, so that's all for our fun facts today. How many of you tried to lick your elbow? So, slightly annoying and fully prepared to interrupt someone with, did you know? So let's move on quickly.
Okay. If you want to get in touch with us, check us out on TikTok. Our account name is Whiako, Whiako on TikTok.
That's us for this episode. Thanks for hanging out with us. Whether you laughed, learned something, or just listened in awkward silence, we appreciate you. Make sure to follow the podcast so you don't miss what's coming up next. And if you know a local legend or have ideas for a segment, hit us up. You'll hear from us next in a fortnight.
That's us for another episode of the Grady Green Island Youth Action Group podcast here on ORFM.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to tell your mates, your dog and your nan. Catch you next time. Ka kite.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.